Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR. A little Marvin Gaye to play us into the 9 o'clock hour. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Melissa, how you doing over there?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm enjoying our new morning show music.
Oh, good, good. Thank you, because let's look behind the curtain a little bit, everybody. I go to Melissa and Seth the other day because I didn't know that I'd have both of you in studio. And I've been dying to, like, give you a couple of the ideas I had for the music to change. And I gave them three options. And this was the closest that was, like, sort of good. The other two were kind of like, James, even if, I don't know if those were really good.
I liked one of your other options.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. But I also realized it, when I did that, I'm like, okay, I gave them three options. I didn't even, I should have asked you guys what you like. And what would you, do you have any options or any choices or anything?
Well, you are the program director, James. Those are the decisions you get to make.
In another 10 years, when we change it again, you guys get to pick. You got no. we're going to get into some fun stuff this hour. We're going to talk about local theater and local theater nearby as well. Mm. We are going to get into things that millennials agree with older people about. That one. Also, the industry with the happiest employees. We've got that one coming up for you a little bit.
Okay.
But we dive into some entertainment news first. And real quickly, wanted to touch on this one. The Directors Guild of America is going to honor Francis Ford Coppola in October. Mm-hmm. One of our greatest directors, one of our greatest minds, the creator of The Godfather and its sequel, and even his latest film, the first feature he has had in 13 years, Megalopolis, which is going to be in theaters September 27th. This movie for Coppola financed himself.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and it this is not only one of the more creative and interesting directors we've had, this is a guy whose legacy is set. He has nothing to prove, no reason to be working anymore if he doesn't want to. He's also one of the few people, like, we've had Martin Scorsese and a lot of directors come out and talk trash about modern movies and superhero movies and all of this. Francis Ford Coppola had some critiques, but was happy for these movies because they, like Christopher Nolan, they're getting people to go to the theaters, they're expanding movie-going experience, and instead of just kind of being on the sidelines, he's like, well, I want to jump in the game, and I'm not even sure if I can do this, so you know what? I'm going to finance it.
Yeah,
I'm not even going to cost you guys nothing. I'm going to do this.
Yeah, well, then he could have the freedom to do whatever he wanted, too.
That, too. Yes. And I cannot wait to see this movie. I don't know the last time the Deadpool and Wolverine I was excited about is just a fan, a kid almost bringing out of me. This is art. This is art. This is what filmmaking is supposed to be. I don't know if it's going to be good or not, but it's going to be worth watching. And I think that says something. You can't guarantee, hey, am I gonna get to the end of this 2.5 hour movie or whatever, and I'm gonna feel like, yeah, I'm glad I spent my time in that, or am I gonna be like, well, there's 2 hours I can't get back. I can't guarantee either way about that, but I can say that at the end of that 2 hours or whatever, you will have. Well, I'm glad I saw that. I'm glad I saw that. That was art.
Did you say what the name of it is?
Megalopolis.
Megalopolis.
I've
not even heard of it.
There are trailers out right now on YouTube. Adam Driver, a bunch of other great actors in it. It's got a heck of a cast.
Okay.
And this is more than likely his last film, Francis Ford Coppola's. At 85, just not doing as much work. And as I mentioned before, it's been 13 years since he's done a movie. Probably not going to be doing another one, more than likely. So getting to see the one of the most iconic directors of all time, getting to see his last film, I can't wait. Looks really good. And congratulations to him being honored by the Directors Guild.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just the opportunity to see a film that is about, that it's artistic.
Yes.
Like you said, so many of the recent movies are their action, their Deadpool, Wolverine.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know what those superhero? There we go.
Yeah.
That's what they're called.
Yeah.
to be fair, the only movie that I have seen in the theater recently was Twisters. But I would totally go see it again. It was so good.
I heard really good things about it. I can't wait to see it. And that did sound like one of those movies that was really good to see in the theater.
In the theater, so, yes.
Yeah. Sure, the U.S. women's water polo team came home empty-handed from the Olympics, but at least they got to party it up with sponsor Flavor Flav in Vegas.
Well, you know, there's got to be a good thing.
It's a good consolation prize. Mm-hmm. They were seen at Resorts World on Saturday getting VIP treatment at the club. Flav said, "I'm so proud of all these girls. Look at the support and attention brought to this sport and women's athletics. We're changing the game, and that is something big to celebrate. Most of all, thanks to all the players for welcoming me to the team and accepting my sponsorship. Paris was a special experience of my life, and we are just getting started." Flavor Flav has done something that I don't think many people will ever see again. Somehow he is, he's like matured more like an older age. Now that makes sense. That's what usually happens. As we get older, we mature and everything. He's in like his 60s and it's just now happening kind of thing.
Just turned a corner.
Yeah. It's great to
good
see.
For him.
Good for him, man. Good to see. And very cool to see. You know, one of the things that happened with these Olympics, I don't believe anybody would have really noticed much, but you had a big presence of hip hop and a lot of other, a lot of people that you wouldn't normally see on the sidelines of these things, like Snoop, like Flavor Flav.
Yeah. Snoop hanging out with Martha Stewart, that was pretty priceless.
Snoop was everywhere. I wouldn't be shocked if there's two Snoops, because somehow he was everywhere during the Olympics. It was cool to see, but it also look, this is part of our country. This is part of who we are. We are, and there is no, you know, stereotypical American. We're many different things, and we were able to represent that over in Paris.
And it was great that the celebrities were helping promote it.
Yes.
They're using their celebrity power for something good.
Yeah. I thought it was a really impressive experience, and I'm really, that was Paris. I can't imagine what it's going to be like in L.A. in 2028. Here in America. That is going to be amazing. We encourage everybody to join us a little bit later today for Midday Magazine at 4 o'clock. We're going to welcome in our great friend Gretchen Powers, Executive Director of Wisconsin Woo-hoo. Rapids Community Theater.
Nice.
We're going to be talking about the main stage productions, the 50th year of WRCT, and some other special productions that are going to be going on in the Lewis Canton Studio and Silver Foxes and some other great events coming up with our theater.
Nice.
And, of course, you can get tickets right now and help them kick off the fall show in the 2024-25 season, the 50th year of WRCT.
50th year. That is so cool.
Get your tickets for Drinking Habits. Shows kick off September 26th. Get your tickets right now at wrctheater.org. Wrctheater.org.
The cast list is up, so you can check it out on their Facebook page. And see who's going to be in this first show. It's going to be exciting.
Congratulations to the cast and everybody in that.
And the crew. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I came across an article, in the mornings, and I'm going through all the major newspapers online and looking for headlines and looking what happened overnight and some of that. And I actually came across an interesting article from the New York Times. I want to thank you, Melissa, for sending me over the logo. And for I'll have to do that and do a deep dive on this article when I have a chance. But since I touched on it earlier, I did want to mention and send a shout out to the American Players Theater in Wausau, in Wisconsin. I'm sorry, in Wisconsin. This theater is amazing. So APT is a professional theater located right outside Spring Green, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
It sits on about 110 acres of hilly woods and meadows.
Yeah, it's a really pretty property.
They have two theaters over there. It's an amazing spot. And not just to the New York Times, but according to all of America, this is one of the top five theaters in America.
Wow.
It is celebrated as that. It is looked at as that. Their mission is an interesting one, too, in 2024. They perform timeless, challenging, poetic texts with Shakespeare at the center to broadcast audience possible if they can. They look for not only to help understanding some of this stuff. And, you know, you hear Shakespeare sometimes and you don't know what he's saying or what it means or anything like that. Not only helps to get some of that across, but to support local area events. And just really to promote theater.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I actually got to go there
In
high school because we did a school trip with my English class to go see. I want to say we went and saw Hamlet.
Wow!
After reading it in class, and it's such a cool theater. But bring your sunscreen. Because it is outside.
We are fortunate here in near here in Stevens Point with the great production that they were able to do of The Merry Wives of Windsor recently. Mm-hmm. CWAC was able to do outdoors. I mentioned before that I got to do Shakespeare in the Park when I was a kid. And by that, I mean like I was 20. And got to do that. That was amazing. Just if you get the chance to see theater outdoors, cannot encourage you enough to check it out. And if you get a chance to see any of the American Players theater shows, head on over there, check that out, and support what they are doing. I mentioned this many times, and I will continue to mention it until it changes. Wisconsin finished last in the union when funding the arts. Last by far and away. Theaters like this are Wisconsin born, are Wisconsin made. If there's one thing I understand about Wisconsinites, you all are proud of being from Wisconsin and proud of Wisconsin things. Support this Wisconsin thing. Support theater is a Wisconsin thing. Arts are a Wisconsin thing.
We have a lot of it, surprisingly, for as little funding as they get. We do have a lot of theater available.
Look at how beautiful this state is, where it has got such a blue collar, such a agricultural backbone, and at the same time is able to be so artistic and so creative when you think of some of the great artists that have come out of this state. You look at like Frank and Lloyd Wright and just some of the architecture work, all the different art forms that are touched from Wisconsinites over the decades, over the years, that have contributed to the American culture. Fund these programs. And maybe you can't, put thousands of dollars into a fund or something like that. But you can go
buy a ticket.
You can buy a ticket. You can get to that. And that is funding the arts. That is promoting the arts. That is helping the arts. Find out more at AmericanPlayers.org, AmericanPlayers.org, and support the good work that they are doing. I cannot wait to take in a show over there, and I'm gonna drive Melissa crazy asking her questions about her getting to see a show sometime.
It was an awfully long time ago, James.
When we come back, we're gonna get into a fun one: the industry with the happiest employees. That's coming up right here on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. So kids love building toys like Lincoln Logs or Legos and some of this, and apparently that fun carries over into adult versions of us. There's a new report on the happiest industries, which analyze things like culture and values, diversity and inclusion, work-life balance, money, career opportunities, and senior management. So not a bad list.
Okay.
Pretty good list there.
Yeah.
And they determined that the happiest gig is working in construction.
Hey.
Geez, I should have just stayed in the industry I started in. What am I doing here? What am I? According to accounting and taxes is second.
Really?
Yeah, just let that sit there for a second. Like, wow.
Well, for people who like numbers, I mean, that's got to be a pretty satisfying job.
There's a parallel universe where my father is one of the world's greatest accountants. That man loves numbers. You are so right about this, Melissa. He can sit back and watch any sporting event and enjoy it just as much as if you ask him, a fraction, like how to solve a fraction problem or something like that. I hear you on this one. The accounting and taxes was followed by manufacturing, tech, and healthcare. Kind of rewarding to see healthcare show up in the top five. That's great to see.
Yeah, for sure, especially when we know how hard it is for people in that industry and how the stress levels and how much they work.
The fact that we have anybody left in the healthcare industry after the pandemic, thank you. Thank you to all of our healthcare workers out there. Yes. Greatly appreciate you.
And to the young people who are going into the healthcare industry, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Nice, Melissa. Nicely done. They only looked at 10 industries, but the ones that rank the lowest for happiness are retail and commerce, legal, tourism, transport and logistics, and hospitality.
Those are very customer facing.
Exactly. Yes, you saw the same thing I did.
Yeah. Like having to deal with people.
Yeah.
When they can be on their, worst behavior.
Which tells us a lot there. I don't think you have to read between the lines too much to tell you we need to treat people better. Like, we need to treat each other better. We need to treat people better. We need to be more, give people more grace. Take a breath every once in a while before you start freaking out on the clerk about the gas prices, even though they have no control over that.
You know, all that screams to me, James, is, number one, a lot of privilege. And number two, they have never done that kind of job.
Truth. Truth.
At least that's my take on it. And it's just mine. Mm-hmm. That's just how I feel about it.
Oh, I
want. But having worked in a service job and having been treated terribly in service jobs, it takes a lot out of you. And those jobs don't pay well.
Yeah, I had not done really a lot of retail in my life. I mostly worked jobs, like I said, construction and radio and things like this. I was in my mid-30s, I want to say, when I went and worked at a gas station in Nakusa for a couple of years. And a shout-out to them and all the good people over there. And I had no idea what it was like working in retail. I thought I did. I thought I had a good understanding of it. I had no idea and was not prepared for it. And I want to tip my hat to anybody that can make a living in that industry, that can do that job. That is, you're a special person that could do those things. I've always tried to treat retail people well. I have gone out of my way since working in the industry. I think it's
that's the thing. We talk a lot about all these things that high school doesn't do. And that high school doesn't prepare people for, collectively across the country, rip on the public school system now and then for what it doesn't do. The one change that I would make if I was in charge is I would require every high school student to work in a customer-facing job for a certain amount of time, whether that be part of a class. You know, they can work at McDonald's for 1 hour a day for a semester, because it gives you insight into that reality of what people who have to work those jobs, and we need people to work those jobs.
Yeah. First off, I dig that idea a lot. That is a fantastic idea, Melissa. And you know, hey, give them credits, you know, give them a high school credit for it or something, whatever it takes. But I think
study.
Yeah. It's a great idea. But,
well, and they do it in some instances, and especially I know that our special ed department in Toma, when I worked at the Toma High School, students that were taking special ed classes would go and they would work at Goodwill for part of the day, like a 1 day a week, I think it was. So there are some areas where that does happen, but I think it should be across the board.
I agree. And there's another thing here, and you kind of touched on it already. Part of the reason I really wanted to get into this one, and I bring this up oftentimes when I'm talking to Sheriff Becker or I have Representative Scott Krugen with us, as much as we deserve as Americans to be able to speak our minds, and we have freedom of speech, and we are emboldened to do these things, I also would like to remind people that there isn't a person on the other end of that. And in order to keep people to doing these jobs, whether it's wearing a badge or it's representing your community and your constituents, we're getting less and less people that want to do these things. And the people that are doing, some of the people that are doing these things are not doing them for the best of reasons.
Yeah.
Because they're some of the only people that want to do these things, because how many people actually want to sit out there and just take all that comes at you? I'm trying not to use metaphors. I'm trying to be very specific about this, because the only way to keep people doing these jobs is I'm not saying you got to treat them nice. I'm not saying but treat them with grace, treat them with a little respect, treat them like you would, you know, a friend.
Treat others how you want to be treated. Is a really good golden rule, and it always has been. And I know that is officers and people in those positions they're under an incredible amount of stress. What our officers went through this morning with chasing someone across county lines and then a standoff where they're being shot at, most of us don't know what that's like. And that's what they agree to go into every day when they put on that uniform and that badge.
It takes
I have a lot of respect for that.
It takes a very unique soul to be able to do something like that. And we want to keep people in these industries. Mm-hmm. You can speak your mind. You can certainly have voice your feelings about this stuff, but do it with some class. Do it with some grace. Let's get back to that. Mm-hmm. The outliers don't represent us. Right. The outliers are a group or an organization or a voice that is oftentimes not representing even their people very well, because they get quite focused on one thing or really want to bring things down. Mm-hmm. And
just be negative and then hide behind a keyboard.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of that is not even the keyboard coward. Some of that is people that you see on the news almost every day. People who here's one of the quickest tells, okay, of a con man. And I know quite a bit about this industry. I grew up in it. Know quite a bit about this side of the tracks. And some of these politicians out there these days are con men. That's exactly what they are.
Drifters.
They're drifters. They're
grifters.
Drifting.
GR.
Whatever what they are is for one, cowards, but also they're snake oil salesmen. Mm-hmm. They're just changing out snake oil for politics. And whatever the word of the day is, or whatever they think will get you angry, and that's where they want you, because when you're angry, you're not thinking as clear. Mm-hmm. You're more focused on this, and not really looking at things in a bigger perspective. After the Tuesday election, they went around, made the rounds, and interviewing people, of course. And one of the people that two of the people that were interviewed was Ms. Cook, Rebecca Cook. Mm-hmm. Who got the nomination for the Democratic Party and is going up
the third congressional district,
and she'll be facing off against Representative Orton, mm-hmm. Van Orton,
Congressman, actually, I believe.
Yes, thank you, Congressman mm-hmm. Van Orton. I want to get that right, because his office has refused to reach out to or take any of my calls or any of my responses over the years. So I stopped trying after a little while. But I do want to again treat him with class that he would not treat us with. Mm-hmm. And I want to say right away, this is the perfect example. Rebecca Cook, she talks. They ask her. She speaks on what she is going to be running on. She speaks about what her constituents need. Mm-hmm. When they go to Van Orton, right away, it's, well, she's not who she says she is. Like, that wasn't even the question they asked him. He just deflects right away and doesn't actually answer anything, but starts talking about his opponent and starts, you know, saying how she is this and she is that, and a bunch of things that he can't prove.
Hmm.
This is the deflection. This is the distraction. This is what con men do. If you, hey, that snake oil, that doesn't seem to be really working on me. Well, actually, it's not you. It's this. It's that. And they go, let me try this product. Try this kind of thing. It's the shell game. Hey, pick what shell. What shell is the rock under? What shell is the rock under? Look over here. Look over there. What shell is the rock under? Boom, you got it wrong. It's a shell game. It's mm-hmm. a hustle. It's all they're doing. And their hustle, the trick, is to anger you, is mm-hmm. to divide us when we are not divided. This country is more together than it's been in years.
Yeah.
And remember that, everybody. Remember that not only in November, but after November and going forward in 2025 and 2026. Remember that we have more in common than not. We are more connected than not. And the only way we get through all of this is together. We will. You got something, Melissa? Didn't want to cut
well,
you off.
Well, the only other thing that that keeps coming to mind to me, and that I keep thinking about when I hear other people like saying their opinions about so and so politician that's running, who told you to feel that way about them? What do you personally know about that person? And maybe not personally, but looking at their record, looking at what they've done while in office or while they're running for office, or what they've done in their life leading up to where they are in politics. Who told you to feel that way?
Right.
Because I think very often there are other agencies at work here telling us how to feel, because we don't have the time or the mental capacity to do all of the research that we should do. So be careful of who you're listening to and how they're telling you to feel.
I'm doing a deep dive into attack ads, and we're going to get into this before November, but I really want to do my homework on this, want to get the data right. And when it comes to that, and just as a side note of some of the things that I have found here when it comes to that, if you see an attack ad and it speaks to you, you're like, wait a minute, this is something. This is really interesting. Wait until the end of the ad and see who is sponsoring that ad. And go ahead and throw that into your search engine. and see where that is. Because when I did it three different times, it was a Russian company.
Ooh.
This is part of what's going on. This is part of what's happening going forward. This is what happens.
Why do they have any say about anything in our country?
Mm-hmm. Well, in part because the door was opened by a former president. The door was like wide open. Like, I'm not locking the door. I don't care if it's midnight out. You can come walk in anytime you want, Putin. You can go ahead and do that anytime. Like, that's part of the reason why it is, among other reasons, and not just that reason, but that is a big one right there, when the former president, and while he is currently in office, is basically bowing to a dictator, is begging this dictator to not do this or not do that as far as his personal stuff, but nothing as far as the world or our country. That opens the door. That definitely does. It's something that no other president has ever done, that's for sure. And it's noteworthy. And I got to say, this has been a great conversation with you, Melissa, but I keep thinking about me at this age doing construction. Had I stayed in construction, what my life would be like. I think I'd be in better shape.
You'd be sore, James.
I'd definitely be sore. Definitely.
Yep. And that poor thumb of yours from getting hit with the hammer. I mean, I know you would have gotten better at it. But you probably would have gotten a little cocky by now and then smacked your thumb again.
Real quick. I never did that growing up, in part because I saw my dad do it when I was young, and I'm like, I'm not doing that.
It hurts.
I was very careful. I learned real quick how to do that because my dad did that, and I heard swear words in Italian I didn't even know existed. We will be back after our state and local and sports news. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio, Melissa and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a good morning out there, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been fun. It's been a fun show. We got more fun stuff lined up for you, everybody, that we're looking forward to as well. Want to get into. And I apologize, Melissa. I'm trying to do two things at once. Our log is acting up a little bit on us here.
So. How dare you try to multitask, James?
That's radio.
I mean, you're only expected to, like, lead the show and, you know, run the board, be your own producer. Like, I don't know.
But
why can't you manage all that?
spitting plates. That's what we do. no two generations have ever had as much beef with each other as boomers and millennials seem to. I don't think that's necessarily accurate. I'm just throwing it out there and reading the article that's in front of me. But I do think that there is certainly a lot of hype to that, a lot of talk to that, a lot of articles about it, a lot of stories about it. And millennials can't stop fuming over boomers, leaving voicemails, ranting about how the customer is always right, refusing to learn technology, or eating canned vegetables. But there is a lot of common ground. A lot of common ground. There's a new thread online where millennials are talking about the, quote, old person hills they'll die on. You can find the complete list at reddit.com. Encourage you to check that out, reddit.com. But this piggybacks into what we were talking about before, Melissa, about how we have more in common than not, how we are more connected than not.
Mm-hmm.
I like to bring this up whenever I can, that where I'm from in South Chicago, in the project area, there are plenty of concerns and issues that are going on even in here in Wisconsin Rapids. There are more things that connect us and more of we have more similarities than I think people realize oftentimes.
Yeah.
So here's the list of things that younger people agree with older people about.
This is not a complete list, but it'll get us started.
Right. New car headlights are too bright.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Even mine. I feel bad.
I do, too. Yeah. I'm so with you on this. I didn't pre-read this list. And that one just hit me. Yeah.
Because mine. Oh, so here's the thing. Okay. And I have a 2017.
Yeah.
But when I change from brights to dims, they're not dim. The brightness doesn't change. It just gets lower. like the top half of my headlights shut off and just the bottom half stay on, but they don't get dimmer. They're still just as bright, and I feel bad.
Yeah. I run into this anytime I'm up in Point and I'm coming back. It always seems like it's usually if it's at night or it's at dusk or whatever and people have their lights on, they never – the person that turns them down right as they're passing me. Like, what are you doing? Why now?
But even if they, you know, put them on, I get actually get people flash me, and dims are on, which they're not dim. I get it, but I just feel bad.
I every once in a while I have somebody still do that, and I thought that was interesting because for a long time people stopped doing that.
Well, it is dangerous.
Yes.
To flash, because I mean, we all, as you know, we're in our later. I don't want to say later years. Nah. As we're in our adulting years.
We're up there.
The night vision gets less and less effective, and somebody flash a bright light in your eyes, it's really hard to see.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, James, but I see a lot of deer out there.
Yep. Just did the other day out of nowhere. It was literally in Point driving around, and boom, right there. Social media was better when it only showed you content from friends and followed pages, and it was easier to
the advertisements.
And it was easier to pick up where your last scroll left off. Yeah, I forgot all about that. Yeah, that was a lot better. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah, and now you get a lot of just random suggestions or advertisements, or like I don't even know who this person is. Why am I seeing them on my Facebook feed?
Yeah, Twitter. Twitter is the worst with this. Like Elon Musk, I don't know how he can run a company, let alone because he can't run Twitter. He can't.
Well, at least not doing it well.
No, God, that thing is hemorrhaging money, just hemorrhaging. Mm.
People. And I know I can't really speak from experience because I'm not on that platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't blame you. People shouldn't listen to music or have videos and calls played on their phones in public without headphones.
Agreed. 100%.
There has never been a conversation that you are having on speakerphone or Bluetooth or anything like that that anybody other than the person you are on the other line with wants to hear. Period.
Agreed.
Then never in human history has anything been going on. Now, people might get curious. People might, end up, eavesdropping a little bit. But they
on what you're talking about.
But
sure.
They don't need that information. No. They don't need to hear that.
No, and listening to your music loudly on some device around other people is just rude.
Yeah.
I mean, the headphones were invented for a reason.
Yes. You shouldn't have to download an app for everything.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
My dad sent me something the other day, and to be able to look at it, I was going to have to download an app. I'm like, no, sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Dad, but no.
No. This has gotten beyond frustrating to me, that part.
Well, to get a discount at any fast food place now, it's, this is only available if you order on the app. Like, I'm at your drive-thru. Why would I order on the app?
It's such a good point. It's so darn frustrating. Not everything needs to be recorded, photographed, and posted online.
Yeah, I also agree with that. To be fair, I am one of the few that like to see pictures of food.
Yeah.
But I'm also kind of a huge foodie.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is cool. I think that's fine. To me, it's more about... it's more about overdoing it, I think, or maybe, just too much or something, or pushing it on people.
Yeah, I suppose it's not like, I personally don't very often post, actually I never post pictures of food on my social media. I will send them to individuals.
Mm-hmm.
I got a video of my brother making his dinner last night. He velveted chicken.
Ooh.
I don't even know what that is, but I got to find out because his dish looked amazing. Lots of fresh veggies in there, and then a velveted chicken. Don't know what that is, but it sounded good, and it looked really good.
And it sounds like it also reminds me of a lot of the artwork that we saw in the 80s growing up. A lot of velvet paintings and things like that. People, this is
the chicken wasn't fuzzy. Let me just put that out there.
That's good to know. Good to know.
It looked like it was in a creamy sauce.
This is one that I will own because I'd say in the last 7-8 years, 9 years, I guess. Oh wow, that I've been doing this job. My brain just looks for content all the time, and looks for ways to not only promote our station but also my acting career and some of that. And my agent gets in my ear, and everything is content. You got to post this. You got to post a selfie at least once a week, all this stuff. I'm done. I'm burnt out, man. I am done with this. I am tired of my own face. I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to be an actor. I just want to perform. I get it. I get that part. Mm-hmm. People need to stop speeding through neighborhoods.
Why? Yes. Why? Why?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a speed limit for a reason. There are kids or people in that neighborhood that you may not know, or whether you do know or not, and you got to slow down.
Or pets, or animals running out into the street. There's all sorts of reasons to not speed. Number one reason, just why are you doing it? What's the point?
And this is a good one to keep in mind as we are getting ready to start a new school season. And we're going to have a lot of little kids running around out there,
kids walking to school, crossing the streets.
Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind, everybody, and look out for them. That's the job of an adult. That's why you get older. There are certain things we take on as adults, and this is one of them.
Mm-hmm. And a driver's license is a privilege.
Grocery stores are too much work. From scrolling through an app to click all the sales to scanning and bagging your own purchases, from knowing they're always moving things around.
Yes, do not rearrange my grocery store. Don't do it.
Stop it. Stop it. It was fine. It was fine the way it was.
I knew where everything was, and you moved it.
You moved it on
me. Twice as long to do my shopping.
Where are the donuts? Why do you keep moving them? Yes. Restaurants should offer an actual menu, not a QR code, especially when it's hard to read.
Yes, because I do not like reading a menu on my phone. Mm-hmm. I don't. Compare and contrast on different pages.
I am all for saving paper and saving the environment I do think that you have to choose your battles here and there, and I don't think that it would kill the world to have a handful of paper and a QR code. Do both, maybe slowly as we go on through time here and everything, more and more people will look to the QR code. But while there is still this kind of group of a lot of us growing up with a menu and a lot of people not, kind of meet people halfway and kind of do a little bit of both, I would say.
Or if you want to do the QR code thing, then make your menu smaller. Have less things to choose from. Then I won't have to compare and contrast.
And nobody has ever, at least I don't think anybody has ever complained about the print being too big. Make it a little bigger. Make the print a little bigger. Tips should be for sit-down meals in restaurants only. That's a tougher one. There's some nuance.
We just need to get rid of tips. Let's pay people a living wage.
You pay people a living wage that they can actually survive on, and you don't have to tip people as crazy anymore. There you go. There's a win-win. Let's see somebody run on that. The idea of, look, there's a couple of things about this state that we are way behind on. And one of the major ones is minimum wage. And you hear a lot of politicians, you hear a lot of people talk about bringing people to Wisconsin, keeping Wisconsinites in Wisconsin, when one of the major ways they can do that is right under their nose, but they won't do it. They don't talk about it. They push it off on businesses. They push it off on the mom and pop business. Oh, they can handle it. Oh, they can do it. It's correcting. The industry is correcting itself because, hey, otherwise, why would people be working if they weren't? Because they have to.
Because they have to have two, three, four jobs just to be able to make rent.
And you're going to trust any business, whether it's a conglomerate or a mom and pop, to do this when it's your job as a politician, your job as government to be covering these things? They don't cover minimum wage. There's no mom and pop business out there that's being asked, hey, what do you think minimum wage should be? Like, they're just doing these things. And it's lazy. It's not doing your job. It's being lazy. Get it done. It should have been done years and years ago. Get this done. And then maybe we'll see an increase in population. You'll see people staying here. That's not the only thing, but it's one of the major things.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And to be able to, It would be nice to be able to just work one job and be able to afford life.
Guess what the downside to that is, everybody? Nothing. Nothing. Okay, call up and let me know what the downsides are. You want to call up and say, well, what about a mom and pop business that can't afford to pay its employees and survive? They either figure it out, or I'm sorry, but you are not going to stay around as a business. That is the world that we live in. That is capitalism. If we want to change that, then that's a whole different ballgame. But right now, this is the world we live in. And I want every local business, I want every mom and pop business to survive and to mm-hmm. thrive. I cannot stress that enough. You hear me every day talking about buying local, supporting local. But we're all adults here. And this is the world we live in. And I am looking at this as either that mom and pop business stays in action, or we, if we have to choose between that and minimum wage, it's not a choice. There's no choice to make here. I'm going with the people.
And the wage inequality, though, James, I mean, do CEOs need to make 20, 30 times the amount of money that their employees make?
Nope.
No. And if that's the world we're living in, which is the world we're living in with some of these giant corporations, that we need to reassess.
Yeah. We got more to this list we're going to get into when Seth and Melissa and I get together again. We'll go through the rest of this list. But this was fun and interesting. And again, we have more in common than not, everybody, regardless of what generation we are from. Mm-hmm. To get to a timeout, we'll come back and wrap up the show. Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa Kay and James J here with you. Hope you're having a good one out there. We're going to take you right to the top of the hour. And I want to make sure we got room to get in some local good stuff here and get into our schedule, Melissa. So coming up in just a little bit, you got Matt and Air on Air. Be sure to join Jane and Greg for a great show. They got good things lined up for you there.
Indeed.
And a little bit later this afternoon, join us 2 to 4 for the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie doing some amazing work over there, one of the more important voices in radio, and especially this time of year, this year. Be sure to check out the Maggie Dawn Show. Mm-hmm. And of course, from 4 to 5, Monday through Friday, we got Midday Magazine. We get a chance to sit back and talk with some of your favorite local people. And boy, do we got a great one jam-packed for you today. In part one at 4 o'clock, join us as we talk about theater with Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater Executive Director Gretchen Powers.
Yeah, that'll be a good conversation.
We're going to talk about the main stage shows, of course, this season and some other fun things going on with WRCT. Really looking forward to that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Fun season coming up.
And in part two, we welcome in Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher.
All right.
Matt and I got plenty to talk about. There's been a lot of news recently in this area, so we're going to be catching up with him. And, of course, we send a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media that will be in mm-hmm. to record that.
Yeah, and Mayor Zacher popped down during our Customer Appreciation Day last week, Wednesday. Said hi to everybody. That was cool.
That was really cool. I was on air. I didn't get, but I did see him stop by and everything. That was
cool. It may have been more the taco truck that he stopped. No, I'm kidding. He did get some tacos to go, though. That was great.
We want to remind everybody this blood donation opportunity going on right here in town. It kicks off in just a couple of minutes, goes from 10 mm-hmm. to 3 over at the former East Junior High School Music Room.
That's right. Blood donation drive today. If you can't make the one today, there is one on Friday at the McMillan Library from 10 to 3. And next week, Monday from 2 to 7, we'll be back again at the former East Junior High School.
Wonderful event going on tonight, Community Trivia Night to benefit the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. Mm-hmm. This is happening at the Port Edwards United Methodist Church at 411 Wisconsin River Drive, right in the corner of Highway PE. You can head on and enjoy this great event, have a great time, and know that you're supporting the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center at the same time.
Yeah, and it's also food. You can order dinner and have that along with your trivia night, dinner from El Cafe.
Yeah.
Best of both worlds there.
Can't go wrong there. Enjoy and take in that great event. And a big thank you to everybody in the community supporting the work that the Family Center is doing. We greatly appreciate that, everybody. Mm-hmm. Cannot put into words how much we appreciate it. I did want to also mention that our good friends at the VFW are going to be busy tonight, Melissa.
That's right. They're at Culver's from 4 to 8 today. For VFW Post 2534, there's a percentage of all purchases through the drive-thru and dine-in will go to our VFW.
support our vets, support those that support us, and encourage you to head on over there. Get some Culver's in your life, everybody. It's going to be good.
Can't go wrong with Culver's. Unless you're at the fair, then come see me and get some fair food.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be there from 2 to 4 today. Be sure to stop on by our Civic Media booth. We're looking forward
to be in the main building.
Yeah, we're going to be at the Central Wisconsin State Fair today. They kicked off today. Enjoy the fair from now until August 25th, everybody. It's going to be a fun time.
So much to see. So much good fair food to eat. I can't wait.
I'm dying. I'm so excited to be there. It's going to be a blast. We're looking forward to hanging out there all throughout this whole entire week. Stop on by anytime. We'll have people at the booth and hanging out. And we look forward to not only hanging out with you and letting you spin the wheel and maybe win some merch, but talking with you and talking with you about not just WFHR, but WIRI and civic media in general. And
just what life is like in Central Wisconsin. We want to hear your stories. Yeah. Civic Media is giving us the opportunity to share your stories with the rest of the state with their Truth Booth. So that is going to be a fun opportunity to get your voice heard across the entire state.
Looking forward to it. And just to wrap up on a kind of a fun, good story, a stray Labrador retriever tried to board a doggy daycare bus in Georgia last month, and then he started chasing after it. It turned out the previous owners didn't want him anymore, so another couple adopted him. They're calling him Wayland, and he got his wish. He now gets to ride the bus to daycare with a bunch of new friends every day.
Let me in.
It's such a good story. It's so cool. It's a good story. Go ahead and check that out.
I'm glad it ended well, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll meet you at the fair, everybody. Meet us down there. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, we'll be there this afternoon.
Great show today, Melissa.
You too, James.
And have a great one. Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.